Well, g'day everyone, and welcome to The Journey this week. My name's Jude Hennessy. As you can probably hear, a bit of a throg in my throat this week. We're going to soldier on in any case. Actually, I'm bumping into a lot of people in this change of season as we head into spring that have been bumped around a bit by viruses and flus and things, and it's got a hold of me, certainly with my sore throat, so bear with me. Luckily, you don't have to listen to me too much this week, and you've got some wonderful people on the show who've got some great things to say to us. Who are we talking about? Well, Father Mike Delaney. He's one. His God in the Everyday segment is fantastic. We love having his stuff on the show. He lives in a beautiful place down in Tasmania, and he's got some wonderful things about the power of simply looking to talk to us about. We so often revel in the beautiful nature that surrounds us. He's going to talk to us about making sure we notice something else. Great to have Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love with us too. They're a great order of priests. And by the way, congratulations to now Father Michael Last, who was ordained last weekend. A fantastic new young priest to join the Missionaries of God's Love. They've got great ministry, particularly with young people. And Father Dave this week's going to talk to us about following Christ to the cross. And even though he's over in Rome at the moment, on what he described for me as baby bishop school, great to have Bishop Tony Percy still providing us with some great content. He's going to talk to us about how death has been put to death and that baptism is our doorway to conquering death and to being born into the resurrection as well, being born into eternal life. Mother Hilda Scott's with us, of course, and as we celebrate this feast of the exaltation of the cross, which is why we've got such a focus on the crucifixion and the cross this week, Mother Hilda Scott's going to talk to us about ensuring that we are building a Calvary in our hearts that we can be aware of, just conscious always of what Jesus has done for us. But to kick us off, we're going to be hearing from Father John Corrigan. He's breaking open this week's Gospel reflection for us, John 3:13-17, where we hear how God sent his Son so that through him the world might be saved. And Father John is going to talk about how Christ's suffering embraces our own, our pain, our regrets, our sorrows, our sinfulness, of course, and how the cross has eternal reach. So it's a pretty significant feast day for us this week. We call it the Exaltation of the Cross. That's what will be celebrated right around the world. It's a celebration of hope. It's one of immense gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us, and we've got lots and lots to get through. So let's dive into it. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. I'm so glad you joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospel reflection with Father John Corrigan.
I'm mindful that many of our regular viewers are no strangers to the cross. And in fact, Mass for you at home could easily be retitled Mass for you in your hospital bed, or Mass for you in your prison cell, Mass for you in your infirmity. Today's feast, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, is your feast, because as Scripture tells us, Jesus prophesied, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all people to myself." So his arms outstretched on the cross draw you to him and embrace all of your failures, your regrets, your sorrows, everything in your life which you feel weighs you down does not separate you from God. It unites you with Christ crucified. We can all visualize the cross of Calvary. It has two beams, but those beams have eternal reach. The vertical beam, it bridges heaven and earth and even hell. I've always loved Chesterton's remark in Orthodoxy. The earth shook and the sun was wiped from heaven, not at the crucifixion, but at that terrible cry from the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. the cry that confessed that God was forsaken by God. That is the moment that God becomes present to God's absence. It's the moment heaven penetrated and conquered hell. So we have this eternal reach on the vertical beam, but the horizontal beam is no less eternal. As we've heard, it embraces all of humanity, and it also bridges time, because Jesus redeemed lives not yet lived. He atoned for sins not yet committed. And that eternal reach enables you and I to unite our own sacrifices, our own crosses, with Christ at Calvary. And so with Jesus, we become his co-redeemers, immortal Christos, another Christ. And with him, we too embrace all of humanity, our family, our friends, our enemies, even those annoying strangers who steal away our peace. We embrace them all. We love them. We pray for them. We atone for them. And so as Christ draws us to himself, we bring with us all of our little crosses, our physical pain, our emotional wounds, loneliness, regret, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And in this holy exchange, we share our sorrows and death with Christ crucified in the hope that he will share with us his resurrection and glory.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
The Savior alone carried the cross for all of my dear. He paid the cost. Salvation complete. Now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. See, Calvary
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There's a particular saint who lived in France, I think around the 1700s. Like a lot of missionaries, his big work was spreading the love of the Father to everybody, but particularly to the disadvantaged, to the peasants of the time. To encourage the people, particularly the peasants, in their pursuit of this love, to find tangible expression to it, he invited them to build a Calvary scene. There happened to be a very rocky hill close by. For 18 months, the peasants built a Calvary scene, a huge cross, in fact, three crosses. Now, when the time came for the official opening, the government of the time got wind of it, and the day before the official opening, word was sent to this saint that the Calvary scene was to be destroyed. Can you imagine what that was like? That wasn't all about just rocks. That was about people's hearts, about their hopes, about their faith, and it was going to be destroyed. This saint gathered them together and said to them, "Yes, we've built a Calvary of rocks, but let's now build a Calvary in our hearts that can't be destroyed." There's the invitation for us this week. Let's build a Calvary in our heart that can't be destroyed. You know, that Calvary where words of forgiveness were spoken, that Calvary where you and I were saved. Let's build that in our heart. When something horrible happens this week, remember, you're building a Calvary in your heart, and when you tell God about it, you're saving it, like you do on a computer, saving it to the great love of the Father.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Wisdom from the Abbey is her much-loved segment, and she called this week's piece, Calvary in Our Hearts, a place where forgiveness and salvation can always dwell. We can just entrust everything that happens in our life, particularly our hardships, to the Father's love. Thank you to Mother Hilda Scott and Father John Corrigan, who before the break spoke about the eternal reach of the cross into our lives. We've already had some great music. We heard from Reuben Morgan and the song Calvary. And coming up now, we've got Newsboys, Hallelujah for the Cross. But not too far away, sending us stuff at the moment while still over there in Europe and at Baby Bishop School in Rome, new Bishop Tony Percy. He's going to talk to us after the break about the death of death. It's not too far away. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us this week on The Journey.
Of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed. A final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save. My debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way. Hallelujah.
my final breath, I'll have no need to fear that rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, and knowing that it was for me. Died, oh, on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, and then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, until my guilty soul implored it turned, oh, to Calvary. And mercy there was great, and grace was free.
And now, with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
It is the feast day of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, known as the Triumph of the Holy Cross. It's the 14th of September, and every year on the 14th of September, we celebrate this particular feast. This year, in the Jubilee year of 2025, the feast happens to fall on a Sunday, and so it replaces the normal Sunday celebration. So the readings of the Sunday are put aside, and we have the readings of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. The beautiful reading from the Gospel of John is a familiar thing to you, I'm sure, You see it on billboards, you see it on pieces of clothing. And the text is, of course, yes, God has so loved the world. He's loved the world so much that he has given us his only son. Now, mention of the word world is a very interesting point in Scripture because it means two really opposing things. On the one hand, the world is given to us by God as a great gift. The gift of creation has given us the world and the universe and our own life as well. And the beauty of the world, the sacredness of the world. In fact, the original creative act is seen as the first covenant. It's a very strong theme in the book of Genesis and in some of the prophetic literature as well. So the world on the one hand, when the word world is used, we get the sense of the goodness and the beauty, the gift of what God has given us. And that surely is true as we journey along life, we begin to realize more and more, I think, that the world itself is simply a miracle with all its seasons and just the way the world functions and how things 99.99% of the time go right. It's really a marvelous thing to be part of and to be created into the world as we are, as human beings, as creatures by the Creator. So the first meaning of the world is something that's fundamentally good. And then the second meaning is something that is wounded, that something has gone wrong here and then becomes a sort of a corrupting influence on us. So much so that St. John himself, the Apostle John in his first letter, John says this, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can get a sense here, hang on, wait a minute, this is being, we're referring to the world as something fundamentally different than the original intention that we find and the original usage we find in Scripture. So again, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, says St. John. For all that is in the world, listen to this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So something gone wrong here. We know this to be what we call the original sin, and then our own personal sin, where we have this ability to corrupt the very goodness that God has given us. In fact, that's what evil is. It's a perversion of the good. It's a twisting of the good, moving it from something that is going to enhance our life to something that's actually going to destroy our life. It's very evocative, isn't it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, those sins of against human sexuality, against eating and drinking, where we overindulge ourselves, of the lust of the eyes, just the sheer materialism and consumerism, which has surely reached new heights in the 21st century for sure. And the pride of life, that is that everything revolves around me and no one else, and certainly not God, but no one else. And so I become the center of reality, and that becomes an extremely narrow form of existence. And none of this, says St. John, is from the world. So that's it. That's the second sense of the world. And God is not content to look on just with sheer providence. He wants to enter the world to save it. And that's exactly what he does, because God is God. God is love. Love motivates him to create the world, the beauty of the world, the goodness of the world. And now love compels him to enter the world to save it from the original and also from the personal sin. So yes, John will say in chapter 3 of his gospel, yes, God has so loved the world that he gave his only son, that he gave his only son in and through his life for sure, in and through his passion and death for sure, and in and through his resurrection for sure. As the early believers like to say, and I really do love this piece of theology, which comes from the very earliest theologians, that death has been put to death by death. That this great influence in the world, the death that's entered the world because of sin and has become so influential in our lives, causing us to live in fear at times and causing us to despair and causing all sorts of problems, this sense of the possibility of extinction, that this itself has now been put to rest by the death of Christ. So to repeat those early theologians, those early fathers of the church, death has been put to death by death. The death of Christ has put death to death. It's a marvelous piece of theology. So in other words, death dies. So the exaltation of the cross, which we celebrate today, is a marvelous mystery, not only forgiving sin, but also confronting the great enemy of life, which is death itself. So we can say with real conviction that Christ's death is utterly unique because he dies a death to sin. It's a unique death, and we should never forget this. Christ not only is a unique person, unrepeatable, but his death is utterly and totally unique. And that death to sin was full of so much love that the resurrection then was three quarters complete. A wonderful biblical scholar taught me that many years ago, that the love of Christ on the cross confronting sin and death is so profound that the resurrection was three quarters underway on the cross itself. So an incredible momentum has been released into the earth. Firstly, we had the momentum of life, then we had the momentum of death put in place by ourselves, and then God himself through and in and through the person of Christ enters the world, and the new momentum is now life, death and life. And so we have all the reason to hope, and this particular momentum is experienced by us, is given to us in our baptism, where we experience death to sin and then rising to new life through the resurrection. And this momentum is in the heart of each and every one of us. All we have to do is to discover it and to rediscover it over and over again.
Oh, thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy there. His segment, The Word, is really, really popular part of the show. We're very lucky to have him and appreciate what he shared with us as we continue to break open this week's themes of the cross on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Before that, you heard from Michael Sweet and the song Calvary, and Maxie Norden's picking out some great music for us this week to fit in with the theme of the cross. More to come as we continue in this theme this week. We're going to be hearing from Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. He's going to talk to us about following Christ to the cross, not avoiding it, actively figuring out what we're going to do to pick up our cross and follow Christ just as he asked us to. But some more music first. We've already just Michael Sweet and the song Calvary, and he's Chris Tomlin now, Resurrection Power. After the break, I'm hearing from Father Dave Callahan. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. This is great to be with you this week on The Journey.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
you have given us freedom.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey. Here are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
Is it possible to be a Christian if we are not prepared to die for Christ? This is clearly a very provocative statement, and one which is guaranteed to stir up quite an argument if you mention it during a dinner conversation. In the Western world, we run the risk of seeing Christianity as being a lifestyle choice, something which makes my life even better than it already is. Yet the reality is that for most Christians around the world, this question is a daily reality. A recent report claimed that every 5 minutes, a Christian is killed for their faith somewhere in the world. If we go back to the witness of the early church, their answer to this question was very clear. To be a Christian meant to follow Christ to the cross and to be prepared to die with him and for him. One of the great early writers of the church, Ignatius of Antioch, was on his way to Rome to be killed in the Colosseum. And as he was writing, he wrote to the church in Rome, saying that he was happy to die, saying, "So that I may not only be called a Christian, but also to be found to be one." As uncomfortable as this question may be, it is important that we face the reality of what it means to give all for Jesus. If I've heard the call to follow, am I prepared to follow him all the way? I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that from Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. He continues our very strong this theme this week as we break open the exaltation of the cross this feast day, and reminded us how in the church, and particularly in the early church, they had a very clear understanding of the importance of embracing the cross, even to death, following Christ all the way, if necessary, including unto death. Thank you to Father Dave. I just want to remind people that we've got coming up in the Sydney region, but there's people who come from all over Australia for this, for the Growing Good Men experience from the 5th to the 7th of December 2025. It's a father and teenage son weekend experience. We're going to be holding it this year at a new venue at the Tops Conference Centre. I love the guys up there. They have got a great venue and they do such a great job in hosting lots of groups, particularly church groups. And we're bringing together a bunch of dads and lads to explore and solidify the bonds between father and son, to look at the journey of becoming a man and dealing with some of the pitfalls and dealing with some of the strengths that, if not kept on the railway tracks, can become really destructive. Friendships, relationships, understanding our identity, particularly in Christ, and some wonderful rites of passage that are incredibly powerful. If that sounds like something you'd like to do with your son, or with your dad, just go to menalive.dow.org.au and you can register there. That's menalive at DOW, Diocese of Wollongong. That's what that stands for. That's where I'm from. I'll be there. I'll be helping to run it with the great men from the Men Alive movement. There are also weekends going on up in Brisbane and in Melbourne. I really encourage you, if you're a dad, to do this with your son. The feedback we've had over a number of years now is that this is quite simply life-changing. Now, after the break, you're going to be hearing from Father Mike Delaney. He's going to talk to us about the importance of simply looking. That's his God in the Everyday segment. But some more music first. Here's Colin Ray, Were You There? Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and we're getting near the end, but you're still on the journey.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were from the tomb.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, seeing God in life's everyday events, here's Father Mike Delaney.
Mentioned on previous God's Plots that I go to church each morning to pray. I also sit in the same space each day, with my back to people passing by as they walk their children to the before-school childcare activities. Sometimes, however, the place where I sit is directly in line with the rising sun, and can be a little difficult reading and praying my morning prayer from the Divine Office. But rather than move, I simply turn my head so that I have a better chance to read the page and continue on. There are times, however, when I do take more than a moment to look out and observe the view, which, fortunately or unfortunately, is right outside the window near my seat. If any of you have watched any of my YouTube ramblings, you might notice that there are frequently backgrounds of sunrises or sunsets, and the majority have been taken through either the church windows or from my front steps. They're essentially the same view. One afternoon, after the local Christian ministers had met and prayed in our meeting room below the church, several of them came upstairs with me into the church and were blown away by the view from the church out over the River Derwent, and said how lucky the congregation were to have such a view. But then one of them remarked that I didn't have the same view, and how did I feel about missing out? I looked at him and said, without any tongue in cheek, that in fact I had the best view in the building, because I was looking at God's holy and faith-filled people as they gathered to praise God and celebrate their being his sons and daughters. As we returned to the meeting room, I couldn't help wondering how often I had actually acknowledged that truth. And then I had to admit that there have been numerous times when it wasn't what I thought about or how I felt. I was reminded of this encounter as I celebrated a weekday mass recently. And I smiled at the congregation, scattered around 22 in a church that can easily sit 400. In many ways, they looked like individuals who just happened to be in the same place at the same time. Yet I know that there is a real sense of community amongst them. In fact, the majority of them are there every time we celebrate a weekday mass. I just have to walk out of the sacristy after mass, and they're chatting in the foyer or in the car park, sometimes for a good 20 or 30 minutes after mass has ended. Thankfully, so far, they've not plotted a car park coup. I'm reminded that if we love other people, we will see the face of God. And the most wonderful part of the story is, we will learn that God always has an interesting face. I hope you see God when you look at people today.
Okay.
That's a great song to finish with, eh? Danny Gokey, Can't Help But Worship. Thanks to Max Norden for all the great music he's picked out for us this week and this Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And thanks to Father Mike Delaney, who rounded out the show for us this week. God in the Everyday is his much-loved segment, and he just spoke to us about simply looking. And I love how Father Mike described his best view in the building, watching God's faithful people gather to worship, even though they were surrounded by so much natural beauty. Thank you to him. Thank you to Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Again, a big congratulations and cheerio to the now Father Michael Last, who was ordained for them this week. That's a wonderful thing. He's going to be an incredible priest and a great impact upon the culture, particularly with young people. He's a very talented man, great musician. So congratulations to you, Father Michael. Great to have Bishop Tony Percy with us too. He spoke to us about the death of death this week. I really enjoyed that one. I might have to go back and have a listen again. And you can do that. Don't forget, you can go to jcr.org.au. You can listen to anything on this week's show or any of the previous weeks too. You can sign up and get the show sent to you as an email each week, and you can get links to the podcast. And kicking us off at the start was great to have Father John Corrigan. We will be doing it all again next week. Hope you're enjoying some beautiful weather wherever you are. Certainly had it in the area where I live, a little bit south of Sydney. The seawater's warming up. I try and jump in most days, and it's on the climb, which is a true sign that spring has arrived. We will be doing it all again next week, as I said, and really hope you can join us then. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you've been on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.